Hi, my name's Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to take a standard ASP.NET Server Control and then customize it for a specific purpose so you can reuse it multiple times on the same website or even across websites. So let's get started and create a sample website. Now, the site I'm going to create here will be in Visual Basic, but the sample source code that comes with this video will also be in C#. So what we want to do here is take a standard ASP.NET Server Control and then extend it for a specific purpose. And in this particular example, what we're going to do is take the drop-down list control and we're going to extend it so it is specific to displaying a list of years. And we want it to be configurable so we can specify how many years are displayed in the list, as well as what is the first year and the last year in the list. Now, the first thing I'd like to do is to go into the design mode on this form, and we're going to look at a standard drop-down list control just to look at how a few of the features in a drop-down list work before we go off and build the customized version of the drop-down list control. So let me go and get a drop-down list, put it here on this form. Let's go in and configure it. We'll add a few items. And the first one we're going to put, let's say, is 2000 or 2008. And we'll add a second item and a third item, and we'll just put three different years in here. And the last one we'll put 2010. So it's a pretty simple control, and if we run it here on the web page, we'll get our little list of 3 years in this particular situation. So that's what we're trying to create here in our customized control, although more configurable than this particular one. If we go back to the source, we can see that in order to add items to a drop-down list, we're adding instances of the list item class. So that's what we want to build in a custom version of the ASP.NET Server control for a drop-down list. So we'll start that by creating a class here in the website. And let's call this year drop-down list. It's just going to add it to the app code folder. Now we're going to start out by putting this drop-down list control here in the website. And once we get it up and running, then I'm going to show you how to take it and abstract it away to its own class library, because in this particular situation, this control is only in this website. So we could use it on multiple pages in this site, but we couldn't use it in other sites. So the first thing we need to do is to have our year drop-down list class inherit from the standard drop-down list class that's used by the .NET framework or ASP.NET to create a drop-down list control on a page. So we'll take and inherit from the drop-down list control, and now inherently our year drop-down list has all the functionality of the standard drop-down list control. Now, it's probably a good idea to put our year drop-down list control in its own namespace. We'll just call it HDI. And now, actually, even though this control is very simple and we haven't added anything to extend it beyond the standard drop-down list control, it's ready to be used on a page. So let's quickly add it to default ASPX just to make sure it works. And in order to add a custom user control, or a control in this case, to the page, we need to register it with the register directive. And if you've done this with an ASCX file, it's similar, but you use somewhat different attributes, or not all of the same attributes. You do need a tag prefix for your control, or in this case, it's going to be all the controls in our namespace, because the second attribute we need is a namespace. And we'll specify HDI, which is what we specified for our year drop-down list control. And now I have found that you do need to build the website sometimes in order for this tag prefix to show up on the page. So I'll just, as a double check, do that. And now when we go down into the page and we type HDI, we do have our HDI tag prefix showing, in this case, the year drop-down list control. If we had multiple controls in that namespace, we would see multiple choices here on the list. Just like with the ASP tag prefix, you have all these server controls available in ASP.NET. So we'll pick this. Let's just give it an ID. Just call it year test, and we need a run at equals server, and that's all we need to start with here. So let's fire up this page and take a look at the control. And in fact, there's our control. It doesn't do anything special because we haven't added any functionality yet, but it does work on the page, and we'll be able to now go back over to the class and let's start to add some functionality. So we want to be able to add a list of years as list items to this control. So let's write a little private method that we'll call addYears. And in this method, what we're going to do is have the logic that will add the years to our drop-down list control. And we'll start out by keeping it pretty simple. Let's just do a for loop, which is hard-coded with several years, just to make sure that this part of it works. So we'll just put 4i as integer equals, and we'll start with 2008 to 2010. And then within this loop, what we need to do is take me, which represents the drop-down list control, go to the collection of items in the control, and we need to add some new ones. Now, we have a couple overrides here. We can either add a string, or we can add a list item control. And we're going to add list item controls because that gives us a little more flexibility. And so we'll add a new list item each iteration of the loop. And then the list item has four overrides, and what we would like to do is to use the text and value override. What we want to put in here is I to string as the text, and we'll also put the year, which is I to string, as the value as well. So now this looks like it would be ready to display some years. So the next thing we need to do is we have to call this sub add years somewhere so that it is initiated. And let's call this in the pre-render event. So we'll go to on pre-render. And all we'll do at the moment to start with is call the add years method here in the on pre-render event. So now it should be ready. Let's go over, run it on the page, and see if we get our list of years. So we'll fire up the web page again and take a look. And this time, we are getting those 3 years in it, and at the moment is identical to the one that we hard-coded. So now let's extend it a little bit more. Now that we have the basics down to get list items for the years in our control, let's add some more flexibility here regarding this hard-coded range that we used in add years to start with. So we're going to add a few public properties. And we'll call the first one start year. And we'll make that an integer. And we need somewhere to store this value. So let's dimension a variable called start year as an integer. And then what we'll do is we'll return underscore start year. And we'll inbound, we'll just set that to the inbound value. So now that we'll store a start year, and let's do the same thing for an ending year in the range that we're going to specify for the control. So we'll say end year as an integer. And we'll create a public property. Call that end year as an integer as well. And we'll return underscore end year. And we'll set underscore end year. So now we have two properties of the control that specify the starting and ending year for the range of years that we want to display. So we'll go down here to our loop, and rather than have the hard-coded years, we'll say from start year, or actually we could go over here and we could say me.startYear, and over here we'll go me.endYear. And now let's just compile this. And once we're done with the compilation, we'll go over to default ASPX. And now what we'll see here in our instance of the year drop-down list control on the page is we have both start year and end year available as attributes that we can set. So we'll just say 2008 for the start year, and for the end year we'll say 2010. So now what we should get is the exact same functionality on the page that we had before, but the way we've implemented is now much more flexible. So we'll start up the page and take a look at it. And indeed, here we have our years the same as we had before. And in fact, if we shut this down and go over here, and now let's start from the year 2000 through 2020, and by just changing the attributes on the page and starting up the page again, we'll see that our list of years is now from 2000-2020. So we already have quite a bit more flexibility here by just simply adding those properties. So now we have the basic list displaying our years. Let's make the control a little more robust. And what we'd like to add is the ability for the developer to specify an initial item in the list, such as the word all. Because if we use this year-based drop-down list in a situation where we want to filter, say, a report, a lot of times you want to be able to have the user say, I'd like all the items included in the report. And in order to do that, we would need a choice, an initial choice in our drop-down list that displayed that text. So we want the developer to be able to specify that an initial item is included in the list, and also we want them to be able to specify both the value and the text of that initial item. So let's add a few properties here. We'll go up, and like the other properties, we want to have a private variable. And what we'll do first is have an item called includeInitialItem as a boolean, and we'll create a corresponding public property called includeInitialItem. Also as a boolean, and we'll get and set the value of the private variable. And then we'll set it down here. And then in addition to that, we need two more properties. One is the text of the item as a string. And then we need a public property that goes with that. That would also be a string, and we'll get and set that private variable. And down here we'll set it. And then the other thing that we need is the ability to set the value of that initial list item, so we'll create another private variable and public property. And we'll make that a string, since it's a string value in the list item. Now we'll create the public property. method will make the property a string to correspond with a private variable, and now we'll do the get and set values. And lastly, we'll set the value. So now we have those three properties that correspond to the definition of the initial item in the drop-down list. And we need to go down here to the pre-render event and add some code that will determine whether or not that item's to be added, and if so, then add it to the collection of items. So we'll say if me.includeInitialItem, and if that's true, meaning that the developer wants to have an initial item, then we need to go to the collection of items. We need to add a new one, and we'll add a new list item. And then we'll use the override that allows us to specify both the text and the value of that item. So we'll say me.includeInitialItemText, and then we'll say me.initialItemValue. So now what should happen is, if indeed that is set to true, then we should get the initial item added to the list. And if we go back over to the default ASPX, and let me just build the website so we make sure we got all the code right over in our class for the drop-down list. So that looks good. So now we'll go into the attributes, and we have those three new attributes that we just added as public properties over in the class. So we'll say include initial item, and we'll make that equal to true, and we'll make the initial item text equal to all, and for the moment we'll make the initial item value equal to all as well. So now we should be able to test this and see that value in our drop-down list. So we'll start up the website again, take a look at the page, and here we have our initial choice, the word all, in the drop-down list as specified in our attribute. And if we go back down here just to do a little test, and we make this false, and then we fire it up again, we'll just make sure that it's not including it if that's false, and indeed it's not including it here. So let's just do a couple quick variations on our control. So we'll put three of them in here, and we'll leave the first one as we had it. Let's put this one starting in 1950, and we'll have this go through the current year, 2008. We'll take out the include initial. This one down here will start in 2000, but we'll have it go to 2010. And in this one, we'll make the initial item -1, and we'll say all for that as well. So we'll just start up the web page, and this gives you a perspective on how you can use the control multiple times on the same page and specify different values for each. So this we have as specified. In here we have 1950 through 1979, or actually we scroll down, we do have through 2008 in that one, and this we have 2000 through 2010. And if we go back in here and just change this to true, go back into the web page, so let's just correct that. There we go, we'll fire up the page again. And now we have the word all in our first, and as you saw, we have the other instances of the class as well. So now we have our year drop-down list control working well here on this website. Now let's abstract it out to a class library so we can use it across multiple websites. So we'll go up to Solution, we'll add a class library project, and we'll just call this hdi.web. And I'll put it in the VB sample code folder so you'll have it when you download the sample source code. Now we don't need this class 1 that was created by default with a project template. We are going to copy the class for the drop-down list, paste it here in our new class library project. And let me just close these two files so we don't have any confusion. And I'm going to open up. We'll see that we're missing a reference to the drop-down list control. And that's because we need a reference in our class library project to system.web. Let me add that. There we go. And let's put an import statement at the top of the file. web.ui.webcontrols. And now we've resolved the drop-down list. Let's just double check that the list items are also resolved, which they are. So now we should be close to being set. One of the things that we need to do here, or rather that I'm going to do, is I'm going to remove the namespace. And that's because Visual Basic inherently will have the namespace hdi.web associated with the year drop-down list class. So we no longer need that separate namespace here in the class library project. So let's compile this and just see that it works. Looks good. Now we'll create a second website to test this out. I'll leave the first website as is, so you'll have that in the sample source code download. I'll go down, let's add a second website, just a regular ASP.NET website again. And we'll call this website VBAssembly. And that just indicates this is using the assembly version of our year drop-down list control. So here we have the website. We need to reference our class library project. Let me do that here. Just reference that as a project. And now we need to put a register directive here on the page, much like we did before. So we add the register directive. Again, we'll give it a tag prefix, and we'll use HDI again. And we need to have a namespace. And that's a little different this time. It's hdi.web. And then we need to indicate where the file is located or what assembly it's in. So we'll put that, and the assembly is hdi.web as well. So now we're all set with registering that, and let's go down here into our div, and let's add an instance of our year drop-down list control, and there it is. We add an ID equal to drop-down list, we'll just call it year test. Put our run at equals server, and let's say our start year is going to be equal to 1850, and our end year, we'll make that equal to 1875. And let's say we're not going to include an initial item, so we won't put those attributes in here as we did in the other page. So we should be set. Let's fire up the page and take a look at it and see that it's working correctly. And indeed, there's our drop-down list with our range of years. Now, one of the last thing I want to show you is in our new website that we created here, rather than put this register directive in every page, what we can do is we can actually go down into the web.config and go into the pages directive. And let's just collapse these namespaces up here. And right after that, what we can do is actually add a controls element, and then in the controls element we can add, and here we have the various things that we saw in the register directive. So we can say tag prefix equal to HDI, and we can say namespace equal to HDI.web. And we can also say assembly equal to hdi.web. And now that would be available throughout the website, and we wouldn't have to put the register directive in each of the pages. So let me just go up here, and we'll add quickly another page to the site. Just quickly create a default 2. And now we'll go down into default 2. And let's add an instance of the control. And you can see it's available without having the register tag. What is ID equals, this is, we'll just call it drop down list year test. Once we use that one again, we'll put a run at equals server, and we'll say the start year is equal to 2000 and the end year is equal to 2009. All set with that. Let's just browse default 2 to make sure this works. Save the changes. And there's our control for the drop-down list years on the page. So now we're all set to use the new year drop-down list control across multiple websites simply by referencing the HDI.WebAssembly. And in fact, down the road, if we want to add new functionality to this control or maybe fix a bug that's found, we can do it here in one place in the year drop-down list class. Now, we've shown a technique here for extending an ASP.NET Server control with the drop-down list as an example, but you can use the same approach with any of the other ASP.NET Server controls. So I encourage you to download the sample source code that comes with this video. It's available in both C# and Visual Basic, which we used here in the demo. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on extending ASP.NET Server controls.